Hi guys, welcome back to Zero TV. I'm Dr. Akpata, your usual host. So today we have Metty Mungwa Muwani from Kalafi Medical Clinic, Medical Group actually, right? Yes, mm-hmm. Medical Group. We are going to be talking about her journey. You know how we do here, we do inspiration, we do inspiring conversations, impactful for you to learn and know you. Yes, you can do it too. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Metty.
Thank you for having me,
Emma. We can't wait to tap into you. And who you are. You are really doing an excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Really, really want to get into your excellence and how you do it. First, let's see, how are you doing? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I think there's just a lot going on right now in my life, in my world. But I'm good. I'm grateful.
Yeah, you're grateful. Mm-hmm. I know you are Motsetsi, so you had to actually come and create this time for us. We really, really appreciate it. In Setswana culture, we're not even allowed to see you.
I know.
But, you know, a job got to be done. You know, funny enough, we're actually speaking about entrepreneurship. Or you can't even rest. Olu Motsetsi, how late an entrepreneur, you know?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Like, business never sleeps.
It doesn't sleep. Yeah. You know, and you are still running the show.
You're still running the show. You're still getting the calls. You still need to make sure things are getting done. Mm. You know, there's still challenges. They don't stop.
So, Metty, who is Metty? Let's talk about a bit of a background. Mm. Is your name Metty or Matlhogonolo?
Matlhogonolo.
Is it Matlhogonolo?
Matlhogonolo. Yeah. That's actually my name, but people who know me from back in the day, even from home, they call me Metty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from Marapong. I'm actually Kalanga. Mm. Both my parents are Kalanga, but now married Ko Pitsane.
Oh, is it? Komorolong. Mm, Komarolo. That's where you're actually from. Tubarolong. Amazing. Funny enough, that's exactly where we are from as well.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah, but not Pitsane, but Barolong Farms.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've actually worked in Good Hope, Pitsane Molopo, Mabule, those areas.
Oh, is it? As a medical doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Fancy young.
I love it.
Very fancy. Yeah. So that's where you're from. Do you have siblings? Tell me about your upbringing in Marapong. Yeah.
Well, I didn't really grow up in Marapong. My mother is a social worker by profession. So na barekela gormente. So we were moving a lot, you know, transfer and so forth. So I think the earliest I remember, I've been like a new girl
everywhere,
everywhere, all my life.
How did that impact you? Did you think that has impacted you positively? Or
I haven't really thought about it, but I think it has somewhat, because whenever you get into a new place, like, your personality also changes. Also, like, there's a certain perception of this new girl. So I always just used to experience that, new girl. I remember when I was, because I schooled in Masunga as well, I get to Mokhaburoni, because I, primary school, started standard 1 to 3, I think Irile Wane Kotsabong, and then part of it, I did go Francistown Nyangagwe, standard 1 to 3, and then 4 to 6, Komasa primary school, go phase 2, and then I moved to Masunga because Nera transferred to Masunga for my standard 7. I remember and you know how kids can be mean. Yep. I don't know if you know, Nkwa means Mosara.
Oh, is it just because you're light skinned?
Just because I'm light skinned. Yeah, I get my own town, you know. And you know how my even teachers would always like, yo, why no more? Hey, how about this string top? How about this hipster?
Gosh, village, you know? Village vibes.
Village vibes, yeah. Mm. So I think it has somewhat impacted me. Because criticize you, and all that. Mm. And then junior school, I did both Komasunga and Komatangwani. Like, I've I've been
everywhere,
and then senior school, went back to Masunga Senior School, and then came to Varsity KUB.
Oh yeah. Tell me, how did you get into the medical career?
Okay.
And what inspired it?
What inspired it? Just growing up, I've always been a smart kid.
Yeah.
At some point, I didn't really know that I was smart.
Mm.
I remember I was just getting straight A's from standard one. I didn't, like, effortless.
Yeah.
Even my standard 7, I think I only started realizing what I'm smart. Because even standard 7, it was just so normal for me.
Yeah.
And I remember even go primary school during career days. She's going to be a doctor. She's going to learn. When I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
Oh, shit. It's like spoken to you.
Yes. It's something that I just grew up knowing, and it became a part of me. But looking back now, I'm like, yo, in terms of my personality, I don't think there's any other career that I would have excelled at, or that I feel what it suits my personality, like being a doctor, because I'm an empath. Yeah.
Oh, you're an empath. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it suits my personality quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you asked about family as well.
Yeah.
Raised by a single mother, grew up with a younger sibling.
Mm.
She's 5 years younger. Lene, she's an entrepreneur in her own right.
Yeah.
But later on in life, discovered my father's side of the family. Like,
yes.
I guess it's a local varsity, and I have other siblings as well.
Okay. All right.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what impacted you, your medical career. Because no, look,
it's something that I've just grown into.
Yes.
Yeah.
How was that? You started off going BSBSC, I guess?
Yes.
Tell me about that. Because BSC, it has really pivoted their careers, not necessarily positively, because it was so hard. Apparently, it was crazy there. I wonder if it's still crazy. Well, not to the smart Metis, but
not to the smart Metis.
How did you find it? What is your experience of BSC?
Nah, I've always been a nerd, I was a late bloomer. So when I got to varsity, so I didn't really find it difficult. But the thing about it is, because it was my dream, but I was going to go to these elite schools, Harvard and
overseas.
And so forth. And unfortunately for me, now looking back, it was a good thing. That's when the School of Medicine was starting. But BSc for me, I think it was just good.
And it was just breezy, because like you're saying, no, I love library. No, I pass by never open the
because now my life was just school and church.
So you did your medical degree, go UB?
Yes.
Oh, right.
So the very first group, guinea pigs.
How was your experience?
I think because it was new and there was just a lot of controversy around it, Harry Simolola. Because at some point, go bus ranking. We talk about UB, go bus ranking. UB has 2 semesters, right? Now we had 3 semesters, now the winter. So it was just so completely different. I remember some even quit along the way, even at some point, really.
You were tempted to?
Yes, I was tempted to. Because it's not accredited. Hey, what?
It was discouraging for the students.
It was very discouraging.
Yeah.
And also just knowing how to go in other universities. I remember there was a huge debate around that. The cadaver is like dead bodies.
Yes, I remember. Yes, yeah. And we didn't have people who were volunteering themselves to be cadavers.
And also, like, I think legal issues around that, because in Botswana we don't really have that. So Nerutwagadi model, which is something that other universities were doing at the time, and more universities have moved to doing even now. So, but because it was new, we could no question the whole thing. It felt to me like everything that I had worked hard for, like that dream of going overseas, I had just been crushed, because they were like, yeah, top students, lona la go lesala mo Botswana. Because from that group, there were some students that were actually went overseas to other countries.
It's so interesting how they took the top students for the local.
I guess they wanted
to bring the best.
The best,
That was the strategy. A
cohort of the best, and
So you graduated.
So graduated in 2014, and then did my internship. So how has that? Mobozana, you do a 1 year internship, and I did that in Scottish Livingston and in Ramotswa, half of it, and then half of it in Ramotswa. And we get here 2015, and then we get post Diwa. So you get posted to
anywhere.
So I got posted to Peter Nomolopo. I went there, the youngest
to the clinic.
To the clinic, yes. I was the manager at clinic, the youngest person in the clinic, and I was working with midwives, like people who were older than me. And being in that, I think being in that space is actually what propelled me to get into what I'm doing now.
Why?
Because that's where I learned to lead.
You are thrown literally in the deep end.
I was thrown in the deep end.
Who've been there for so many years,
but they were so supportive.
Amazing.
I was working with like six midwives, finally, the one who was in charge, and it was just an amazing experience. And living in the village, you know, you know, you get introduced and so forth. But also it was during this time that I really pushed me into the entrepreneurship space, because I kind of learned or got to see there's just our public health system is so under-resourced, because it was such a struggle, like basics of things you couldn't find. You need to know if the sugar is high or low.
You don't have the
equipment. You don't even have like the strip to just check check that. And I remember I used to do outreaches. Like right by Pizza and Molopo, and would go on that gravel road. And I remember one time we got stuck in ambulance because it was raining. And I was just like,
and you have to go and save a life.
And I had to go run clinics that side.
So you're running the region, basically.
So I was doing like some of the clinics. I'd also go to the hospital, Good Hope, to do call there at the hospital.
This must have been an amazing experience for you, I can imagine.
It was. I call it the making. That's the part of my life that really made me into who I am now.
Leadership. Like, now, you're just not managing the one in your local region. It's just the sub ones as well there that you had to.
Yeah.
So tell me about when you were stuck in the middle of the road. How did you guys handle that?
I was stuck with the driver in the middle of the road. He had to go find people, Bamotse, to come and help.
In the rain,
In the rain, because it was stuck. So I think somebody came out, but I push up the
because it was resolved.
Eventually it was resolved. But in that moment, just being there, watching this happening, I'm like, how old was I? Probably 26 years old. I'm just at the beginning of my career, and this is my life. This is what I'm going, like, I think that's when I decided, I need to be in a space where I can actually be impactful and I can actually
make the decision to change.
And have resources to actually help people, because I won't feel helpless.
Because you can't do anything about it. So that was your pivoting moment, when you were stuck in the middle and you're like, there's nothing I can do.
That's when I decided, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go into private, because my dream had always been to have my own clinic.
And, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, as a GP.
And be able to, practice medicine without really compromising, where I'm not under-resourced. When I decided to leave. I think it was after a year of
practice
as a medical officer in the public sector. So you won't believe what I did to when I left. I looked up clinics, all the private clinics in Gaborone. Ke di kwala mo ditareng le dinambara tsa teng, and I called each and every one of them. Ke botsa gore ha bana tiro, even part time. I was willing to leave for part time because in my mind I needed to go and learn
How it runs.
how it
So you
runs.
wanted to get inside first, but you
Yes.
knew one day you're gonna run your own.
Yes,
Yeah,
I
okay,
knew
that was
one day I was
smart.
gonna run my own. So yeah, and then I came across AO. I don't know if you know AO. I actually worked at AO. That was the first
No,
place.
AO.
Yeah,
No.
it's in KB Mall.
Yeah.
A so when I call them, they're like, actually come in for an interview. They're like, we're actually looking for someone permanent. And then I got the job. I had to take a salary cut from what I was used to in government. But for me at the time, that was fine because I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end goal was to learn, not to earn.
To earn a big salary. And you know, and the
Yes.
lesson here, that I would like to really highlight is, first, if you want something, you better make an effort to do
Yeah.
it. Make the phone calls. You're like, you
Yeah.
called the whole
Yeah.
Khabarane,
I
for
didn't have to wait for
it. An advert.
an advert, you know? Yeah.
And also to get taking the salary cut.
Yeah.
For you to pivot your career, sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes,
Yeah.
yes.
Knowing when you're
I know
going.
nowadays everybody's like, I know my worth. We all know our worth, but
Yeah.
sometimes you have to take the what seems like a loss for a gain.
Yeah.
That's much like bigger picture.
For the bigger picture. So you had a vision. T tell me about your journey as a GP.
Yeah, so I always say that time of my life I must have been high on something because it was just so I used to work 12-hour shifts, go AO, like that's the clinic that I would work at, and I took locums like part-time go bokamoso because in my mind was like, I need to learn everything there is to learn.
Hospital and yeah,
Yes,
private though this
so I used
time,
to do
yeah.
locums go
What does
bokamoso,
locum mean?
look like part-time, like you just go there as and when they need you and when you're available, you're not permanently
There.
there.
But that was the experience you also needed in private clinic, in a private
Yes,
hospital and a
and
private
yeah,
clinic,
because
yeah.
also like remember I'm young, I still need to figure out what I really want. At some point I get a little medical schooling, I wanted to be a pediatrician, but as I got to learn pediatrics is not about the cute little babies, that's actually about kids who are sick and who are actually dying. And
You have to
for
save their
me as an
lives.
empath, yes, you have to save their lives, but for me it wasn't going to work because
You're gonna cry the whole time.
yes,
No
yeah, like
shame.
I would take that with me, carry it with me everywhere, and
Yeah.
I actually had done that. I was like, this is not for me. Yeah,
Where you don't know what
so
to do for the child, and there's only so much you can do.
like not you don't know what to, you do everything that you can do, but sometimes like
Doesn't work out. Yeah, like how it happens in
in
anything.
anything, you know,
Yeah.
that's why doctors will be like, we did everything that we could,
Yeah.
and you know, those are things that become very traumatic
Yes, yeah.
to you as well. So I was still figuring out what I really wanted to do. So I used to work like 12 hours. I would get at the room 6 p.m. Knock off 6 a.m.
Where to the GP?
Go straight to Bokamoso. Yeah, go straight to the hospital. Sometimes I'd work until about 4 p.m. or just go home back and go back to the clinic. I was like I cannot do that now.
Yeah, at 26 it was doable. Yes.
I guess it was.
Yeah, because of the energy you had. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. But you did it.
Yeah,
For
I
how
did
long?
it. I did that for almost a year. And then it came time where you qualify for a private practice license. I was like, let me just apply and then see what I'll do with it. I was just gonna keep it for whenever
Yeah.
I'd be ready.
Yeah.
And then I think that's when I decided, you know what,
I'm going private.
I'm going solo. Like, there's no need to wait. Like, the experience that I thought I would get, I needed to get on my own because, like,
You wanted to just change
yeah.
the do it differently.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
was like, why wait? Because I had told myself I was gonna do that for 5 years, and then I think something, even people around me, that's the time also I met my husband. Glenn, he's like, why wait?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, why wait, honey?
You met him, when did you meet him? When you were still at a GP?
Yeah,
or
when I was,
yeah. And then that's when now you guys started aligning. For yeah, let's and then tell me about the opening. You registered for a private thing, and then
and I had like some money and savings. I remember traveled to Pretoria to buy the first equipment for the clinic.
This is a bed and what
just
is it?
A bed, a table, BP machine.
The
basics. I remember I even had to borrow money from a friend of mine to buy the first Stokia Melemo that I had at the thing. And we did like a soft launch because we didn't have like deco for the clinic. So we asked family and friends to bring like deco, and that's the deco that we used
when you launched,
when we started.
Oh, when you started. Yeah.
At the clinic.
Where was the clinic?
It's still the one in the village.
Okay.
So that's the very first clinic. That's
is it the one where Tokafala used to, not Tokafala,
Mitekanelo
used to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was your first clinic.
Yes.
Yeah. What year was this?
2018.
Yeah.
So we just turned 6 now.
Mm.
So 6.
But you've done
six
tremendous
years.
Work in 6 years. Yes. Okay. So you then you opened it. Were you the main doctor at the time then?
I was the only doctor at the time. And I think a few weeks later, like I was pregnant at the time. I wouldn't have quit if I knew I was pregnant.
Were you already married?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I was
okay.
Not married yet. Mm. Yeah. So I was the only doctor there. From day one, we were closing at midnight.
Yeah.
So I had to work the hours. I had to work from 8 a.m. to 12 midnight every single
Jeez.
Day.
Why midnight?
Why midnight? So when I get back at thing, we were doing, it was a 24-hour clinic.
I see.
Yes.
That's why the crazy hours, because I was wondering, what did you do? Okay,
yeah. So also I just realized what there's a need for, because most clinics were closing at 5 p.m., right?
There was a niche there.
Yeah, there was a niche there where, like, you know, after work, people don't want to leave work maybe for a pep smear and whatnot.
Mm.
So things still, what are not emergencies, you can just go to a clinic for. So I was like, why not open during this time when people need that? And it's not for emergencies, because in the early hours of the morning, mostly it's emergencies. So closing at midnight every single day. I worked like that by myself, I think, for... because we started in March, I think until August. That's when I got someone else to help.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the funds to have...
To pay anybody else.
To pay,
But the turnaround from March to August, that's very short. Meaning it was actually quite... That means you're doing really well for you to be able to, or not necessarily, but you were able to say, you know what, let me get the help. I can shift the money this way.
So I think what really helped was the consistency, because, you know, sometimes you'll get a place we close at midnight, you get there at 10, it's closed. Like whether there was a client or no client,
you guys were open.
We were open.
Would you be there alone? Who would you be at 12 midnight there with the
reception and security and my husband would
usually
hang around.
Tell me about how your husband, you know, influenced your entrepreneurial journey and the company you keep. I want to also mention that, you know, as much as this has spoken to you, this is all you knew, that I'm going to be a doctor, but you know, it even becoming it, even when you are studying, who are you keeping as company, you know in your career? So because I know that the company you keep influences your success or not. And this includes your partner. Tell me about that.
How do I answer that? In terms of, like, I'm a very private person. I don't have a lot of friends. I keep a very low profile. So in terms of friends around me, it's just people that I grew up with that have been there, and I've met some really amazing people along the way. And a lot of them, actually, I meet them as clients.
They become friends,
they become mentors, they become like mothers to me, and so forth. But I'd say my husband, I don't like to admit, but I have to.
Mm.
He's been my mentor.
Yeah.
He's
Why don't you like to admit it? Oh, he's going to be like, I knew it.
Yeah. He's been my biggest mentor and support. He has been the person that has been there for everything. Yeah. And I wouldn't say like I've had role models growing up, and also I wouldn't say I've had mentorship, and that's the one thing that I feel like in this journey I've really lacked, I've really longed for. And
yeah, because it's tough. Like, it's entrepreneurship is tough.
Really tough. Yeah, you get into it, you coming from this place where you're getting a comfortable salary, and you get into this space where you don't know where your next check is going to come from.
What is it called? Is it called medical entrepreneurship? What is it called? Where you are an entrepreneur, but you're also a doctor. I know, or not necessarily an entrepreneur, or you can even become a CEO of a hospital.
Yeah,
you know, versus practicing.
Yeah, I do both.
You do both.
Yeah.
I mean that is really really interesting. That, you know, there are probably doctors out there wondering how you guys do it. Where do you think you have the entrepreneurial spirit in you? Where do you think it comes from? How can they also just know how to be the entrepreneur or be the CEO of a hospital as a doctor?
Yeah.
You know, besides, because it comes, it's a different skill altogether.
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, you need to have passion for what you are doing.
Yeah.
Really know your why. Know why you're doing it. Be passionate about it. And secondly, you need to have a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, you won't know which direction you
to take.
Yeah, because whatever, like, trends come and things change, and it's really, 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 really challenging.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most important thing. Like, be passionate about it and
know your why.
Yeah. And have a vision. Like, know where you want to get it. Because along the way, if you don't know where you're going, like, if you can't see your end goal, you will get discouraged along the way, because when you're going through it and it's messy and it's
chaotic,
it's very easy to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Let me go back to, because I can always get a job anyway.
That's the easier route.
An employee, this thing I cannot do anymore.
I mean, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
So that we can have a glass of water. Guys, we'll be right back. Yes, so Mithi, welcome back. We're back, guys. So you were talking about, you know, we just tell us, just to refresh that, we were talking about, you know, how does one become, you know, into medical entrepreneurship, and you're saying, you know, at first, you know your why. Have a vision. You can repeat it a couple of times. Where you're going with your career?
Yeah.
You know, and know your why. Are you? Because not everybody is an entrepreneur, and we have to be, you know, real about it and be honest about it. Not everybody has that in them, and it's okay to be in hospital and just do your thing and specialize in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But have the vision. You know, this is me in hospital. I want to be in this hospital for so long and whatever, despite the crazy hours.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say I have it in me either.
Yeah.
I've had to learn. Like, it's really, I think entrepreneurship is really about, mostly about learning about yourself and, you know, that personal growth and development.
You get to actually discover it.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
I remember my brother, when he became an entrepreneur, he used to also be employed at, at the Botswana. When he became an entrepreneur, he's like, you know, I discovered that I'm an entrepreneur. You know, he actually didn't know he had it in him too, you know.
And
you just have to just dig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dig deep.
And most, like, it's really a journey, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say there's anyone who can say they have it, or they have it in them, or they are at that point where they're at that, okay, maybe there are people who are at that peak, but it's something that is, it's a continuous process.
It's really. Growth, you keep evolving.
Yeah, you keep evolving, like with the times, with everything, you learn new things change.
How did you come up with the name Galafi?
Galafi. It was a team effort, honestly. Like I said,
Between you and your husband? Yeah. Going back and forth with it.
Going back and forth, we had to make a list, and Galafi was just right. It
Resonated, yeah.
resonated, yeah, because Galafi means to heal or to cure. Yeah, so, and we wanted something Sasfana. We had a few English names, but I feel like Galafi really hit home, and yeah, that's what we wanted to do with it, like a place of healing.
So you opened Galafi in 2018 at Village, and how was business? Did business start growing? Because you did say, well, the thing is, Lotta actually focused a lot during those few months. Is that when I say I'm closing at 12, I'm closing at 12.
12, yeah.
That's also a lesson here, that we need to highlight for
Yeah.
consistency. It's very, very imperative. When you're saying you were pregnant, and it's hard. Can you imagine
It
how hard?
was,
It's very hard to be pregnant and having to work those hours, but you did it.
Yeah, and it's your first baby,
And you
and
do it,
you don't know anything about it. As much as you're a doctor, like
I know we don't. It's still
you also
scary.
go through it, yeah.
So how did you then, tell me about the growth? Because now you guys have like four clinics. Is it four? Yeah, in Tlokweng. I know there's one in Tlokweng
Main
Village,
Mall,
Main Mall,
Extension
and
5.
Extension 5. Tell me how it grew. Take me through the process. Oh, yes, we grew. I hired a doctor in August, and then what?
Yeah, so I hired a doctor in August because I also had to go on maternity leave around that time, and then came back. I think that time, August, when there was two of us now, that's the time, August, September, that's the time that we really saw a peak, like a rise in number of clients. Because when
Why
we
do you think there was a rise there?
so with health, there's it's seasonal. There's certain times when there's a peak in something, like during your winter.
The peak.
Yes, during your, because I think at the time there was an outbreak, diarrhea and so forth.
I
And with
see.
parents, and then you bring them. So that's when we started getting more traffic to the clinic because of that outbreak. And also, like, then also,
Did you
because
market it a lot? Did you do like aggressive marketing?
I did, but it's not really allowed to market.
Is it?
Yes,
Just
like,
like us, we are not, accountants are also, we're not
yes.
allowed
So
to.
I wouldn't really call it marketing, but what we did was we did a lot of free screenings where we just wanted people to get to know about us. Would go to malls, check
I
people's
see.
BPs, would go to
You didn't do
different.
like billboards and all that.
No, different departments do the screenings, and that's how we got people to know about us. And memory is a slow process. Sometimes like, you're only going to reap the results later on. Yeah, people will remember, oh, there's that place, like a midnight, like if I check again.
I guess it's also part of entrepreneurship. That's how it starts. That's how.
And I think at the time, just getting the feedback, people were really loving the fact that it's a clinic, yeah, Botswana, because people were not used to that. Like 2018 is just yesterday, but at the time, people were so used to a private, thinking it has to be a foreigner, learn not happen my name. Like when they hear Dr. Mongwa, expecting this man,
Oh, some
wow.
Kalanga. Oh, no, oh, some foreigner. Oh, I see.
Yes, because I'd always even get that. The actual doctor's gonna come, because also at the time I was still really young and
There I
tiny.
am.
Yeah, I was like,
Did you
yes,
actually get that challenge sometimes, Matamasa,
I
believing
did.
you? Did you
I
get, tell me
did.
about that experience?
Yeah, I did. Like, at some point, people would like, even after you introduce yourself as the doctor, they're like, Neso, like, they would always refer you to me as a nurse. And sometimes people would get in there, but say, too sure. But because I, in the consultation room, I know my thing, I know what I'm doing. Then they're like, oh, actually,
She knows
she,
her stuff.
And also, it's not just about knowing the medicine, it's also how you make a person feel,
Comfortable.
make them feel comfortable, make them feel like this is, this person is really trying to help me and make me feel better. Yeah. And for me, I've always just loved that. Like, I get so much joy when I'm able to do that for a person, but not to...
I know, but I get you in terms of, because what you're saying is in the medical, you know, world, particularly as being a doctor, your main thing is to make the patient comfortable.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's more challenging when you're younger because everybody's used to older
male.
I mean, these are real. These are real issues.
And also people look at you by bizarre. I mean, but actually, like, I gravitate a lot towards the elderly and they gravitate a lot towards me as well. Yeah, so like, it's a special area of mine as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's really close to my heart.
Yeah, to be able to help them. And then,
So
you grew?
I still have people about Zongo Peter and Moloko wanting to come see me.
So they come all the way to Kaproni?
Yeah, I still have people who do that.
Yeah, I mean, but they do have their doctors. I remember Mama Lene had his own doctor.
Yeah, and Mama Bahole Wanaba, it's a horror. Yeah, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah, to always see them and come in. And, so tell me.
So how we got to
grow.
And then, so we started just growing. And I think at that time, we also needed to identify what our objectives were, because you're getting in, you're still learning the ropes. And then we decided for our number one goals are excellent customer service. We wanted to excel in that because we felt like it's something that's really undersupplied in our country, and we really wanted to give people that experience. And the other day somebody was like, you know, I now understand, having been to one of your events, Hore, when you talk about that experience, what are you referring to?
Yeah.
Just, you know, person leaving feel like they were VIP.
Yes, and they are. They were, you know,
and they are. Because, they, you know, at the end of the day, they are the ones who are paying
for the bills.
For the bills, for everything, for each and every one person who's there. And if everybody in the company can understand that, it makes life so much easier. Yeah.
How do you make your team understand that? Customer service experience, that you're saying, what you're saying is the first thing that you did.
Yeah.
Objectives, customer service experience.
Yeah.
This is a huge issue in Botswana. Yeah. And I know I always have such a bad experience everywhere I go. Just feeling so frustrated because our people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and tell me, how did you do that? And let's share the importance of this.
Yeah, I think for me, it's you need to practice it yourself.
Lead by example.
Yes, lead by that example, because now it doesn't matter. Like, sometimes people wouldn't know that I'm the doctor. Like, I can do reception, I can do whatever it is that the patient needs or the person needs at the time. I can be like, I can't do that, or whatever, you know, lead by example. And we really invest a lot in training.
Customer service training, yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that all our employees
get constantly. Yeah. Do you like revisit it all the time?
We revisit it. And we're very big on feedback. We need to know how the
feedback.
Feedback. Because sometimes you'd think, you've trained people, this is how things are supposed to be happening, and then somebody doesn't, their experience is different. Yes. So it's very important for us to get that feedback. How can we improve? And that feedback has been what has really helped the business to grow. Just listening to our clients.
And doing what your clients are asking for.
Because at the end of the day, it's about them. It's not about Dr. Mongo and all that.
Don't make it about yourself. You made it about the clients.
Very much client-centric.
Yeah.
Like that one, we don't joke with.
So that's how you started growing.
How we started growing. And also, Hella, like, we wanted to just also change this narrative. You know, back in the day when you used to go to the doctor, you could wait for hours. So it's something that we wanted to change as well. So or at any point at all our clinics, the doctor should always be there. Like there should never be a point where clients have to wait for so long for
a doctor.
And it's one of the things that we use as a monitoring tool to see how well we're doing as well. What are the waiting time? How long do people actually get to wait? And when clients are
this is even between the clients.
I got, yes, yeah, you take patients. It very seriously. And so we take it very seriously. And we had to also higher towards improving that as well. Yeah. So 2019, we opened our second clinic in Main Mall. And then I think that year we opened two clinics. We had another clinic with Village, but we ended up leaving that one.
The second one.
Yes. And then 2020, we were working on opening the first executive clinic ever. And COVID hit. Yeah.
What does executive clinic mean?
Executive clinic. So all our clinics needily first come, first serve. So executive clinic was to really cater for those busy professionals, people who can't come and wait. And you need to come in at 10 a.m. and be done, be seen at 10 a.m. and be done and leave. And it was also focusing more on corporates, corporate clients as well.
Okay.
So we were working on that, and then COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really disrupted a lot of things. And when we started, the vision was to have as many clinics as we can. So we wanted to start in Gaborone. That's why we have multiple in Gaborone. Start in Gaborone.
Then other
yes, places. Then branch out to other, do it very well and just replicate.
Yeah.
But COVID hit, and we saw that there were a lot of changes in the health space, and that forced us to pivot and also have a different vision. That's when the hospital came about as well. Yeah, so now we're working on a day hospital project, and it's opening soon, actually.
Where is it?
It's in Fairgrounds. Yeah.
Nice. Is it, it's going to grow like that one at opposite Gaborone San? What is it called again? I forget it.
Medlane.
You think it's something like that? Yeah.
It's much bigger.
Amazing. Because I know Medlane have opened something behind there.
Yes, but
bigger than that.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
In Fairgrounds.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes, so we're opening
day clinic, actually, you say?
Day hospital. Yeah, so we're opening actually in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We should be open.
Yeah, so you know, Mithi, this is something that we need to, you know, be candid about. You know, when you're managing a business, the money that goes into the business is the one that is growing
the
clinics, growing the business.
Yeah.
The importance of separating yourself
from the business.
Let's speak about that.
So yeah, it's very important to talk about that, because people always ask, how did you do it? Because initially didn't get any funding. Like I said, just started with the savings. And everything that we were making from the first clinic, we reinvested into all the other clinics.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have been able to grow because we've reinvested everything into the other clinics. Mm. We're only getting funding now.
For the hospital, of course. Yeah.
I did get some funding. Like, I did get YDF.
Because you're still youth. Why not? Yes. To grow.
I did get YDF with the first clinic. That actually really helped to supplement when we were starting out, the salaries and so forth, and buy a few equipment as well.
Yeah,
additional equipment that really, really helped.
Yeah.
But in terms of like getting a substantial amount of funding, we're only getting funding now for the hospital with CEDA.
How many doctors and employees are you envisioning on having on this one?
Ooh.
And how many beds?
It's a 12-bed. So day hospital. So what we'll be focusing on is non-invasive procedures, where you can do a surgery and go home same day. And that's where the world is going. Last year, we actually went to the US to on a benchmarking
exercise. Yes, I saw that. Is it Beverly Hills?
Yeah. No, it was actually three. We went to Mass General, associated with Harvard.
Yeah.
We went to Mayo Clinic. It's the best in America. What number clinic? One Mayo Clinic.
Oh, where is that?
Yeah, it's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yeah.
So we went to all US. So top three in the US hospital we went to benchmark from. And that actually, because of COVID, shifting and looking at preventative health care, mm-hmm. where we are focusing more on preventing
COVID.
Not COVID, yeah, like just all conditions, preventing one, yeah. diabetes before it becomes, preventing hypertension, because the treating part is very expensive. And
even for the clinics themselves, or even for the patient.
For both, for the patient.
Yeah. So you're becoming cost effective and efficient.
Yes, yeah, becoming for both. For both the client and the hospital. Mm. So that's what we are focusing on. And they're focusing on more home care. Mm. Like even somebody will do a major surgery and be home the same day.
Mm.
We actually got to witness somebody doing a robotic surgery, heart surgery through a robot, where the doctor is not even touching the patient. It's just the robot that's there. And the doctors, they're playing like as if playing a video game.
Amazing.
And recovery time is faster. You know, the cost of healthcare is much cheaper. And that's what we are trying to do. The hospital, we want it to be a smart hospital.
To be as cost effective. So I think the message here that you are also sharing is your growth is also based on the benchmarks.
Yes.
You know, funny enough, when we had a conversation with your husband one time and I was telling you about, he was actually coming from Dubai. Or was he going to Dubai for a conference on, I don't know if it was a medical conference or... Or the athletics, you know, renewal athletics kind of, you know, conference. But
yeah, probably medical.
Medical, yeah. But my point is, you guys are really benchmarking.
Yeah.
You know, you're going out to see what is done out there and bring it here.
Yeah. And, you know, also like there's opportunities in the country. Like some of these things we get to go because of different organizations that help us to do that. And Botswana, I always say, like, now I'm blessed to have been in a country where my whole schooling life my parents didn't have to pay a single tere. Even when you graduate and you start a business, there's opportunities for you
to get funding
You get other people, like you go to conferences and they're paid for by your government.
Even internationally.
Even internationally. Amazing. And you get there, you're like, we're the only ones who get to
not have to pay. Yeah. So but basically what you're saying is we also live in such an amazing country that
we
has,
do.
That you have utilized the benefits of being a Botswana, basically.
We do most
and I think it's best to also mention, because we have people who are also not Botswana not watching on what YDF is and what CEDA is, you know. That's basically you know, youth development fund is when you go and get funding from the government as a youth for us it's until 35 years old, is it? Between 18 and 35. And 35, and then you're able to access those kind of funding to grow your business. And then CEDA is where, it doesn't matter the age, you can get a loan from CEDA, which is a parastatal, and you can basically, and this is what you got for your mini hospital. Oh, amazing. This is actually really so. How long did you know, one of the things that I want to know is, how are you finding entrepreneurship in Botswana? If you have to say the challenges or even the positives, what is your view of entrepreneurship in Botswana, doing entrepreneurship in Botswana?
I'd say it's quite challenging. It's quite challenging. There is a lot of challenges. And we can sit here the whole day and talk about the challenges. But I think more than the challenges, there's plenty of opportunity in Botswana. Like, it's a growing market. There's a lot that needs that we need to grow at as a country. And there's just plenty of opportunity. So, and also, like, I think our government, as much as like there's all sorts of challenges, it's doing really well.
They're trying to do that part.
That part in terms of like helping us to I think the most challenging bit is just dealing with people in different offices. The opportunities
for you to get the job done.
Yeah, for you to get the things. It's been quite a challenge. Like, I remember,
the customer service we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
And also just beyond that, like, Botswana, like, we're just very...
Too relaxed.
Yeah, we're too relaxed. I remember when I started, I used to... I looked really young at the time. You understand, like, you're trying to explain, no, I want to have multiple clinics. Actually, by the way, what we've done is not even allowed in the country, but we had to work around it in terms of getting, because I'm only allowed to have one clinic. I'm not allowed to have multiple clinics. I think now, maybe this year or next year, that's when they will allow that. So we had to work around that in terms of seeing how we can get that vision, because you'd go to the Ministry of Health, like, I'll tell us, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to have multiple centers and whatnot. And there was no how you could be helped, but we found a way around it.
You found a way around it, eh?
Yeah.
You did your charm around about Botswana and how we do business. But what you're saying is, you know, sometimes we do have systems in place, and not necessarily a relaxed nation, but also even our systems. You know, like, for instance, we're not allowed to have more than one. Why not? You know, those are things that we also need to work on. So that we make the entrepreneurial environment more conducive and friendlier. Even I know right now we're on this mission to import, have investments come in and all that, but we
even
need to
become
make
more attractive to investors as well. I have this vision and they have the money for it, and you're like, there's a challenge, I can't actually do it because it's not allowed, there's a lot of red tape around it.
Too much red tape. So tell me about the culture that you mentioned customer service. What kind of culture have you actually, besides customer service, have you actually made for your business and cultivated in the business in terms of Harazena? What kind of culture, as a customer comes in, what is kind of culture, or what do your employees know that they're supposed to know? What is that culture that
Outside of the what the employees are supposed to know, it's also just the environment. Like, when we started or got in, I think now things have turned around. You know, clinic, it didn't matter what emo koning in zingyang furniture emo clinic inside, it didn't really matter for a very long time. But when we started, like, no, it's very important that the environment, the look of the place is actually also,
as you grew, you
welcoming.
Also invested on the look.
Even before, I'd see, like, not really invested, like, we had to do a lot of DIY just to try and make it look
cozy
and warm and welcoming. So the environment needs to be welcoming. It's one of the things that we also ask our clients about, like, do you feel comfortable in this environment?
Why is it important for you? I know it's a good thing, but I want to know what your why there. Did you benchmark somewhere, or just something that you guys always like, no, but this is something you set down, you know, this is what we want.
It's something that I've always wanted. Like, I always also just look at myself and my experiences for, like, what I want as a customer on the receiving end, what I want to be in a place, or I get so ridiculous at things.
It's
not comfortable for me. And, you know, you want a place where people will feel comfortable and it's really warm. By the time I was in again, they're feeling comfortable. But, like, you don't want somebody to feel like they're sick, they're in a hospital, you know? So it was just to also change that mindset.
Who is your greatest support in facing hardships in business?
It's my husband, to be honest.
He's the one that says, no, babe, let's do it.
I would, like, be like, today, just allow me, I need to fall apart today. No, we're not doing that. Or, okay, have your moment, but then
we have to get better. That's what you needed sometimes. What book has inspired you? I don't know if you're a reader, but do you have any books that have inspired you in your entrepreneurial journey, or just your journey on the general?
Well, I'm not really much of a reader, to be honest. I think that's the one area where I'm like,
you need to work on. Yeah, oh, you're like,
I need to, yeah, I need to work on. Like, I'd rather like get audiobooks or like a summarized version of the book.
But audiobook is also, it's also reading.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have time, I know.
So I listen to a lot, like, yeah.
Although I'm not an audiobook person, I think you need to open the book, and that's me. But
actually, read it. And read it,
but that's me. But doesn't mean you're not reading if you're not listening to the. If you're listening to the audio,
So I wouldn't say there's any particular book. I've read a few books, but I wouldn't say that there's any particular. I try to read now. Mm. I listen to a lot of
podcasts, you say? Or audiobooks, yeah.
Yes, audiobooks, podcasts,
Favorite podcaster? Favorite podcaster right now?
I cannot say.
You can say, oh, okay, okay. What do you consider?
I don't want to be judged.
And it's fine, it's fine. What do you consider your weakness?
My weakness, I'd say it's both a strength and like both of them, two things. I'm a hard worker.
Yeah.
So being a hard worker, I don't know when to stop.
Mm.
I overwork myself. Yeah, that's been something that I've had to really work on. And also just being that empath. I don't know how to separate myself from like my not really my emotions. Like I feel a lot for people, for things. So
yeah, what you're saying, sometimes you need to draw the line.
So it makes it very difficult, and you know, entrepreneurship is something that, you know, it's cutthroat.
You just keep going.
So
yeah, especially when you're an entrepreneur, you don't know where to draw the line.
So it's something that I've really had to work on.
Your favorite aspect of being an entrepreneur?
I think now, my dream has always to find freedom of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think now I love the fact that I can do what I want when I want. But sometimes I need to do what needs to be done. Most of the time I need to do what needs to be done. But I have that flexibility to say, okay, I can take a month. I've actually taken 3 months off of work before because I had overworked myself to a point of burnout and depression. I had to just step back.
How did you then deal with that? For the one that is probably doing, going through that now.
Like, I took 3 months off of work. And
therapy.
Therapy. I know how, like, some people not have a luxury of doing that, to take 3 months off of work. But it's very important to really, like, take a break from everything.
Did you like sleep, or did you just like eat? What did you do during that time off?
During that time off, I started just rediscovering myself, because also the journey of entrepreneurship, you are questioning yourself.
What am I doing?
What you're doing. I have to rediscover myself and really get to meet myself again, because you know, you get into this thing and it's just
go,
yeah, and you really just don't, like, how almost like you're on autopilot. So I had to really like do the simple things, take walks. I traveled, go to the beach, you know, sleep, don't do any, like, learn to not do anything.
And you did therapy too. So therapy also helped you.
It really did.
What motivates you?
What motivates me? I'd say now my kids. But what motivates me is really wanting to live to my best capability. So in, like, I'm motivated to want, like, I really want to become better every day at every single aspect of my life. I want to reach that level of self-actualization, because I'm a person who reflects a lot. I really, like, I'm aware of, I'm really self-aware, so I'm motivated to really become the best version of myself.
Just keep, that's exactly what God, are you Christian?
I am.
And do you sometimes reflect with God and ask Him, God, am I
not
on the,
sometimes, all the time. Time. Yeah.
Reflect with Him and say, God, am I on the right path? Yeah. Is this what you want me to do?
Because sometimes you get to that point where you question whether you should, when you're going through challenges, is this God telling you to maybe let go of certain things?
Then you talk to Him,
Then you talk to God, or just trust the process. God is going to take you through this. You know what's in your heart, what's in your spirit.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that you're doing that.
Yeah. Do you think you're doing your God's calling?
I am. Yeah, I don't think so. I know I am.
You know you are. Yeah. And you guys have spoken about this.
Yes.
You and Him.
Yes, most definitely. I am.
Tell me your greatest inspiration.
My greatest inspiration, as in what, like?
I don't know, maybe it's someone that you really look up to right now.
People are going to think it's, but to be honest, like I said, I've not had a role model in my life. I have not had someone who looked like that. But my greatest inspiration, to be honest, and the person that I've looked up to and loved is Connie Ferguson.
No, and really? Is that why you brought her? Oh, shame. Tell me about
part
that.
Part of it, yeah. So, and I was not too sure if I'm in love with the character that we see on TV. Karabo Harriet.
I don't watch Ditori anymore. I call them Ditori.
Yes, but I've actually loved her as a person, and meeting her was even more amazing for me, because sometimes, you know, when you see people from a distance, you get to like them and all that, but when you get to meet them, you're like, it's a turn off. But it was a completely positive experience, and also just listening to her speak at the event, you know, I was like, I can see myself in that woman. Like, now I understand why I was so
drawn to her.
Because her sharing her experience of the things that she had been through as a wife, in the business space, I could really relate. I was like, okay, I'm not alone. I can actually get through these things. And it was really a validating moment for me to meet her, and like a really dream come true.
You know, we're about to wrap it up, and I want to just ask you this question on, you know, there are some aspiring doctors now, you know, children at UB, most of mine, wherever they are, wanting to be medical doctors, and they're in it, they're inside. What is your word for them right now?
My word for them is really same thing, like, know why you're doing it, because if you're doing, like, do it for the right reason. If you're doing it for money, there's no money in medicine. You need to have that passion for it. You need to have that passion for people and for helping people. It's the thing, like, you need to be sure that it's the thing that you will do, and it will fulfill you, like, it will fill you up, not deplete you.
And this is for the medical students, basically. And then obviously now for the woman, it's Women's Day. We're shooting this on Women's Day, guys. Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day to you too.
I mean, such a great timing that I'm shooting this today.
Great timing. Even for me, I was like, I need to do this on this day. Like, what can I say to
women today?
Although
this is going to be you know, posted much later, what would you say to the young woman, or even the older woman, you know,
Whoever would care to listen? I'd say, first of all, you're beautiful. Love yourself, because as women, we criticize ourselves so much and neglect ourselves, and it's something that we really, really need to be intentional about and learn to really take seriously and mean it for ourselves. And you know, a woman can do anything that she wants to do or puts her mind to. So you can do whatever it is that's in your heart that you want to do. The most important thing is to just start.
And everything else will start, and be consistent.
Just keep going, no matter what. Like, I wouldn't say I always say, like, I don't like to be in the public space much because I don't feel like I'm there. But it's a journey, and I'm somewhere in this journey, and I feel like there's still a long way to go. And I feel like everything that I'm experiencing, especially the hard times, it's just my story being written. So yeah, just keep at it. Keep I wouldn't going. Say I'm perfect or I'm doing so great at it, but I keep.
So basically what we've learned today, Miti, is when you're going through it and it's rough, have somebody that can remind you to get up. Yeah. You know, have that somebody, or you have that support system.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be your husband, it could be your sister, it could be anyone.
Mentor, like it's very important, like mentorship. I think that's also one thing that I wanted to highlight as well. It's very important to try and identify that person who can be a mentor for you, because it's super important.
Yeah.
It's one thing that I really yearned for.
And you couldn't get around.
And I couldn't get around, And outside of that support, really have that deep belief in yourself and in your God.
Yeah, in God. Yeah, and just connect with God.
Miti,
you've done an amazing work for your age. I mean, now I'm calculating. You said 2018, you were 26. I was busy calculating. Okay, 2024, how old is she? Probably 32 now, 34. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and look, you've opened how many clinics now, you know, and it's doable.
Yeah.
And you don't even necessarily have to be a medical doctor. What you're saying is just have your vision, get it done, do it, and just keep going.
Yeah.
This is what you're saying. You know, the doors will sometimes be closed on you.
Yeah. It's going to be hard. It's going to fall apart.
It's going to fall apart, and just get yourself back up. You know, cry. Like you're saying, you said to your husband once, I'm a bit, please let me fall apart today. You know, I can't be strong anymore. Because men actually deal with things differently than us. Yeah. So that's why I was very...
That logical...
It's very different from us. So
problem solvers.
Problem solvers. So let's get up, let's go. You know, women are built differently. So it was imperative that you also shared that. No,
yeah,
I want to fall apart.
Yeah,
I had burnout. I went to rest. You know, if you don't have the luxury of resting for 3 months or going on holiday or whatever, take a few days off and rest.
And do the small things that will help you get back to yourself.
Back to yourself and know yourself. Keep reflecting who you are. Don't lose yourself in the process, especially when you have kids and family. Ooh,
a lot to juggle
as women. Yeah, but thank you so much, Miti. I don't know if you have any parting words, but we are done. Yeah,
I'm so grateful for this. Like, I believe in like everything happens for a reason, and things fall into place. So I'm really grateful for this. It just came out of nowhere, and I'm very happy with how it went. Thank you for thinking of me.
No problem. You're welcome. I mean, I was like, oh, Miti, we need to tap on her. Yeah, but thank you so much for agreeing. I know now you have to go back to your Mutsetsi baby. Sorry about that, but thank you for having us here. All right, guys, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. I mean, a lot to learn today. Bye for now, and happy International Women's Day. Bye, guys.